Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view.
That's our theme for story time in the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. And this week's story is called The Invasion of the High-Heeled Donuts. It was inevitable that I write about donuts this week, because that is what God wanted me to do. If she didn't want me to do that, then why did she send me so many signs and omens and portents foreshadowing the donuts of my future past? God's first suggestion regarding donuts happened last Friday when I heard a radio story about the origins of National Donut Day. Little did I know that National Donut Day has a long and storied history. It started in 1938 as a fundraiser for Chicago's Salvation Army. Their goal was to help those in need during the Depression and to honor the Salvation Army lassies of World War I who served donuts to soldiers. Here's the story. Apparently, soon after the United States' entry into World War I in 1917, the Salvation Army set a fact-finding mission to France to determine the needs of enlisted men. One of the things they determined is that America's fighting men needed donuts. So they set up little huts and made baked goods there. Soon the women who did this work became known by the servicemen as the Donut Girls. In the Second World War, Red Cross volunteers also distributed donuts, and it became routine to refer to the Red Cross ladies as the Donut Dollies. These days in Chicago and in other cities, National Donut Day is still a fundraiser for the Salvation Army. Coincidentally, right after hearing that story, I ran across an article in the New York Times suggesting that the United States is a federation of at least 9 distinct donut nations. Now, perhaps like you, I have long been concerned about the deep political and cultural polarization that's going on in our country, but little did I know that it extended to something as innocent and inoffensive as a donut. But it is true. The entire eastern seaboard from Maine to Florida is dominated by a large corporate chain, the Dunkin' Donuts Company. However, as we head west, regional chains such as Daylight Donuts and Shipley Donuts flourish. Then as we proceed through the Rockies and onto the Pacific Coast, a preference for donut independence prevails as smaller local brands dominate the landscape. According to researchers, the credit for this goes to Cambodian immigrants who own 90% of the independent donut shops in California and Texas. I think this is an interesting social and historical phenomenon. Cambodian immigrants come to the U.S. in the late 1970s, fleeing the horror of the Khmer Rouge regime. One of them, Ted Nagov, discovered donuts during a late-night shift at a California gas station. A year later, he bought his first donut shop, and by opening new stores and selling them to recent arrivals, he creates a network of over 1,500 Cambodian-owned donut stores across Southern California. Cambodian bakers worked extra hard, and the family pitched in, and these efficiencies kept donut prices low, and so the larger chains couldn't compete, and the Cambodian donut shops flourished. This article also discusses donut density, or where are there the most donut shops in America? The finding is another bit of social history that is interesting. Providence, Rhode Island has the highest number of donut shops per resident with 25 donut shops per 100,000 people. Dallas, Texas has the most diversity of offerings, including a donut called the Canadian Healthcare, which is a gigantic maple bar with a full strip of bacon and syrup on top. Yum or yuck, depending on your preference. Salt Lake City has the most astonishing diversity of donut types. Apparently, the Mormon prohibition on alcohol has created a vibrant market for artisanal desserts so that people can get high on sugar in Utah rather than on booze. Anyway, by the time I picked up my Funny Times magazine and sat down to have a laugh or two at the end of the day, I was saturated with donut news. And lo and behold, what was I to encounter but a wonderful donut cartoon that I find extremely funny, even though I do not understand it. The cartoon in question features a sprinkled donut standing up on two legs and wearing high heels. The caption is, "The World's Most Intelligent Donut." So here's a donut standing up on two legs, wearing high heels, a sprinkled donut. And the caption says, "The world's most intelligent donut." The donut is getting an idea, which is signified by a light bulb above its head. And there is also a dialogue bubble on the side of the light bulb showing it saying, "I think I am getting an idea." Meanwhile, peeking out behind the donut is a manned rocket ship that is either heading into the ground or about to fly through the donut's hole. I don't know which. Now, I find this cartoon extremely funny, even though I have no idea what it means. I have tried to understand it. I've tried to understand and interpret this cartoon in a variety of ways. Is this high-heeled donut a hopeless Kierkegaardian donut who is finally getting an idea after many years of trying, only to have her life destroyed by a crashing rocket ship the moment she finally succeeds? Is that the idea? Is the idea that the donut is getting about a rocket ship? It's about to explode. Is the fact that the rocket ship may or may not fly through her hole in any way significant? Is the fact that the donut is losing some sprinkles, does that have any meaning? Perhaps suggesting the ultimate degradation of matter as a condition of human life? Are the high-heeled shoes on the donut a clue? Is this cartoon a statement about feminism, suggesting perhaps that the first sentient donut will be a female, representing the critical role that women play in the nurturance of the species? Is this the Eve of donuts? Well, I've been trying to understand this cartoon, and I still don't get it. I guess I don't need to understand it to find it funny. Like, who cares? But what I do care about is, since I've been talking a lot about donuts right now, I want a donut. And not a mass-produced Safeway donut or a white powdery Hostess donut, those little disgusting ones, but a real artisan donut. I think the gal from Dee Dee's Donuts was up at the station in May. Perhaps I will find her and I will eat her out of her entire stock. Let me know, my friends, where to find other great donuts in East Jefferson County so I can eat them all. And a happy belated National Donut Day to you and to your entire family. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.